Amen. All right. Hey, speaking of conveniences, comforts in the home, how many of you guys have noticed this about our society? We have literally become, I believe, the laziest society in the history of mankind. Have you noticed that? And it isn't just because we've become the you got to say it like that, John. Laziest society in the history of mankind. Have you noticed that there's all kinds of entrepreneurs out there that are cashing in on our laziness? Yeah, they invent all kinds of things to help us be lazier than ever before. Every one of these is real. You could actually purchase them. Try not to get too excited in our lazy culture. Watch this. This is crazy.
Everyone gets a little lazy from time to time. I know I've wished for some inventions to make my life easier, and I've found some that really do the trick. The Abhancer. Who doesn't want to have sexy six-pack abs? I know I do. There's a solution. I can now buy this plastic thing, put it under my shirt, and stun the world with my awesome six-pack. I'll be in great shape, just as long as no one sees me with my shirt off. Inflatable tie. If your work is super boring and you'd like to sneak in a few extra Z's, you may be in the predicament of not having anything to use as a pillow. Good thing someone invented a solution just for this situation. It's a tie that inflates so you can use it as a pillow. The Oreo dipping wand. Who doesn't love to dunk their Oreos? Apparently, some people who take laziness to a new level like the taste of milk-soaked cookie, but not the actual dipping part. It can be really strenuous, getting your hand stuck in the glass and all. That's why this exists. The Oreo dipping wand allows you leisurely dunk your Oreo without getting your fingers wet or jamming your hand into a glass. Candwich. If you also don't like slicing sandwiches, you may be in luck. They also make sandwiches in a can. The Candwich comes in two flavours of PB&J, strawberry and grape, and barbecue chicken. Just pop the top and enjoy, well, as best you can. Moving your hand from the popcorn bowl to your mouth is such hard work. There's nothing like loafing on the couch, watching TV, and stuffing popcorn in your mouth. Some days I think moving my hand from the popcorn bowl to my mouth counts as a workout. Apparently someone else did too, because they invented this popcorn machine that automatically shoots the popcorn into your mouth. It's voice activated, so all you have to do is say the word pop, and it automatically shoots a piece of popcorn into your mouth. Automatic petter for your pet. Pets are great companions, but sometimes they need attention and you just don't have the time. Or maybe you just don't feel like petting Fluffy right now. The patented pet petter promises that if I buy it, I'll never have to touch my pets again.
You gotta be kidding me. Why'd you get one? That's nuts. Okay, how many guys are secretly saying, I could use that pet petter? I'll tell you what, yeah, I know you're out there. All right, but man, we've gotten lazy, big time lazy, and these guys are cashing in on us. It's nuts, okay? And every one of those, I kid you not, you can actually buy, okay? But I've noticed that this laziness is extended not just in kind of the physical realm. Believe it or not, it's exploded into the spiritual realm, okay? This lazy mentality, okay? And apparently it's just too hard to get out of bed once a week and come to a church service on a Sunday or to be asked every single day to use my own two fingers to crack open the Bible and read it for myself. The agony, right? Now, the problem with that is we laugh because it's so unfortunately true, but this spiritual laziness, listen, folks, towards God and His Word has now produced a society that is clueless about the dangers that are coming that He has been warning us in His Word for the last 2,000 years. It's called, you don't want to be left behind, okay? Why? Because you'll be thrust into the seven-year tribulation, and it's not a joke. Jesus said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind, okay? So horrible that unless God shortened that time frame, i.e. kept it to 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed, okay? We need to wake up. That's a real thing that's really coming, okay? But God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And so we've been taking a look at our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising, signs that the seven-year tribulation is getting close. God doesn't tell us the exact day of the hour, including the rapture. Why? Because what would we do? We goof off to the very end. But He loves us, okay? And He wants us as Christians, number one, to finish strong. We're not going in the seven-year tribulation, but don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. Keep your mind on things above, not on this earth, and keep serving Him. Amen? But if you're not saved, when you see that it's getting close, it's like, I better make a decision today. Stop procrastinating, okay? And that's what we've been doing. How do we know that the seven-year tribulation is getting close, which means the rapture is just that much closer? We've already seen the first of three signs. That was, of course, the Jewish people and the Antichrist, our 20-week study. We saw the second one was modern technology, 16-week study on that. And then the last time, seven times actually, we've seen the third one is the AI invasion. Now, this is wild. The book of Revelation written by John about 2,000 years ago, this stems from the prophet Daniel about 2,600 years ago. And he wrote about, how do you know you're living in the end of times, the last days? It's when you see an increase of knowledge exploding across the planet and leading to an event that the secularists call singularity, where they say, their words, not mine, AI, artificial intelligence combined with machines, robots, you name it, is going to take over the planet and destroy humanity. Okay, it sounds crazy, but that's exactly what they say. They call it singularity. God calls it end of times. It's the same thing, folks. And we're seeing it happen across our planet. Why? Because we've seen there's a race for AI. Okay, our planet is running headlong and is developing this while we sit here in spite of not just the biblical warnings, but even from the secularists. Then we saw the definition of AI, the types of AI, the history of AI, the big data of AI, and who's behind it, the makers of AI. And then frankly, the last four times we've been taking a look at the future of AI. It's not only here, it's coming and it's permeating the planet. So what's that future going to look like? Well, read the Bible. We've been warned for 2,600 years. It's not good. Okay, it's called the end of times for a reason in the book of Daniel, okay? And what we've been seeing is AI is being permeating our planet, virtually every sector of society, whether we realize it or not, on a global basis as, quote, the new electricity. It's invading every area you can think of, and that's what we're dealing with now. We've already seen that first area is business, and then the last two times we saw it was finances. And we saw in 2 weeks, eight ways our finances are being invaded, a total takeover by AI in a negative way. We saw with personal finances, personal taxes, personal businesses, personal purchases, and last time on a global basis, just like Revelation 13 says, a global banking, global stock market, global economies, and a global currency that AI is controlling all on a global basis just in time for the seven-year tribulation and the mark of the beast system. AI is here ready to pull off what the Antichrist and the false prophet needs to do for those events to come pass. It's never been this close in the history of mankind, okay? And AI is here to pull it off. But that's not all. I'm still preaching on it, so guess what? That's right, wife, I saw you. There's got to be more. And there is. She knows me too well, apparently. That's right. The third area, yeah, I couldn't wait to get this one. Guys, this is really where it comes home. Literally. Convenience. Oh, I'm telling you, Lord, if we're still alive and still here, the next several studies is just on this topic. Every nook and cranny of our lives, I'm telling you, is being invaded by AI, and we're getting seduced, okay? And my theory is this. Apparently, just to make sure that we go along with this AI invasion, controlling our whole global financial system, business system, to build this mark of the beast system, okay? AI is being pitched to fix everything. And I mean everything. It is, I'm telling you, the panacea for all our ills. You come up with something, AI can fix it for you. And not just your businesses, not just your finances. But I'm telling you, AI is being pitched right now as we sit here to fix all your personal ills. You know, all those things that personally just get on your nerves that you wish could just go away so you can go back to living your life of laziness and convenience because what kind of a culture do we have? What's the object? Everybody gets out of bed. What's their mandate today, by and large? It is a selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed, self-loving, self-caring society that cares more for self and self-convenience and self-pleasure than God. Now, that's not only true, but here's the point. Did you know the Bible says when you see that society appear on the planet, which is here now, you're living in the last days, okay? And again, I didn't say that God did. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And what we're going to see clearly is the characteristics that Paul mentions, okay, of now, not just technology, but what's the attitudes going to be like? What's the behavior going to be like in that last day society? And it gives you a whole list of horrible, rotten, godless behaviors, okay, as an indicator that you're in that society, whether you like it or not, okay? But here's what he says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, godlessness in the last days, and let's stand as we read God's holy word. But Paul says this, but mark this, there's going to be great times in the last days. It's going to be awesome, because you know what? The church has to clean up the planet and take over the government and in order for Jesus Christ to come back. Yeah, it's called a lie from the pit of hell. It's a false teaching from the New Apostolic Reformation, but we're not going to go through our 42-week study on the charismatic chaos. Okay. No, what's it say? Before Jesus comes back, it's going to what? It ain't going to get better. It's going to get what? Terrible. Terrible last days. Why? What's it going to be like? What's the first thing out of the gates? People will be what? Lovers of themselves. Too bad we don't see any signs of that. Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. And then you start going down that hill. Whoo, it goes downhill from there, right? Then what's going to happen? You're not going to love yourself. You're going to be lovers of money. You're going to be boastful. You're going to be proud. You're going to be abusive. You're going to be disobedient to their parents. You're going to be ungrateful and unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of what? Pleasure rather than who? Lovers of God, people would actually skip services just to, oh, he's going to meddling already. No, I'm just reading Bible. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but what? Denying its power. So hang out with these folks because there's no big shakes. No, what's it say? Have nothing to do with them. You may be seated if you can. Why wouldn't you want to have anything to do with this kind of character? Because guess what? It rubs off, right? The old saying, you sleep with dogs, you wake up with what? Fleas, okay? That's a good old Midwest term, Sandy. Yeehaw. But anyway, so what's it say? The Bible says one of the major characteristics you're living in the last days, whether you like it or not, is it's going to be one filled with a whole ton of unadulterated, godless, wicked behavior. He tells us it's going to, how do you know? Here's your acid test. Are you living in a society that is selfish, greedy, boastful, prideful, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, out of control, brutal, evil, treacherous, rash, and conceited? Yeah, that's our world today. Turn on the news. Look around. It's getting worse. And not just half of those things that were listed there. Okay, not just three-fourths, but what? Every single one of them. So according to Paul, according to the Bible, guess what? Like it, lump it, leave it or not, we are living in the last days. We're in that culture. Every one of them's come to pass. In fact, it's been going on for so long, I think we've become numb to it. But it's a major sign we're living in the last days. Not just earthquakes and famines and wars and rumors of wars, but when you see this society living like this, it's a sign. Just as much as what you see going on in the Middle East and all that stuff, this is a big sign too, okay? Now, here's my point with bringing it up this time, and then certainly leading to AI. Okay, what was the very first thing that Paul mentioned was a characteristic of this last day's godless society? He said they're going to be lovers of what? Themselves. And again, good thing we don't see that. Are you kidding me? How many times have we kicked this thing down the road? Lovers of self? What's the number one rule of Satanism? I came out of this. Right? Do what you will shall be the whole of the law. Self above all. So this is now the number one virtue in society. Kids from wee high in secular school, what are they being taught? Love yourself. Self-love, self-respect, self-esteem, self at all costs. You got to come first. They'll even say this, if you don't love yourself first, then you can't even love God, let alone other people. Excuse me? The scripture says the greatest thing you could ever do is what? Love God first. Then your neighbor, you're down the list. And then if you want to esteem somebody, the scripture says what? Esteem others better than yourself. Oh, and as far as your whole self issue, read the scripture. Listen to Jesus. Hello. He said, if you want to be my disciple, what's the first thing out of his mouth? He says, you must deny yourself. This whole self thing, self-love, self, is completely polar opposite of what the scripture says as basic biblical Christianity, to be a disciple of Christ. And not just that, what caused the fall of Satan? Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Self. And you wonder why our planet is full of people acting like little devils, including all that behavior that Paul mentioned. It all stems from a love of self. But it says it's going to get so bad that they're going to act religious. Oh, maybe they even go to a church service. But again, going to a church service doesn't save you any more than sitting in a barn makes you a cow. Oh, I fixed that one. Yes, I did. Okay. Right? You're going to be born again. So there's lots of people that are religious that have got that form of godliness, but what? You deny the power, you're fake. Right? He says, why? Because you look at the way you live. You deny it. Right? But he says you're going to become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When push comes to shove, you're always going to choose self-pleasure, self-convenience, self instead of truly following God. Right? And Jesus said, if you're a real Christian disciple, if you want to be his disciples, you got to deny yourself. Right? Now, again, I said all that to get to this point. Tell me that's not our average person's attitude today. Okay? Is what do they do? What's the whole idea? Why am I getting out of bed? It's exactly me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. Me, self.
right? And I'm going to do what I'm going to do today for me. It's all about me, what I want to do, right? What makes me feel good, self-pleasure, right? Rather than what God says to do. Self-love, self-convenience. And I just got to, I got to fill my life with so many conveniences because it's all about self, and that's why I live. That's why I exist. That's why I'm even getting out of bed today. Or maybe you can figure out a way in your self-love that you don't even have to get out of bed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be convenient, John? Now, if you think that's a pipe dream, how many people do you know who live for nothing but self, self-convenience, self-pleasure, more so than the God, that this, what I'm about to show you, is their dream come true? Watch this. This is nuts. Thumbs up is right, John. I thought that cat petter was cool. Yeah, who didn't want to have one of these beds? Gives a whole new idea. You had to get out of bed, literally, right? Now, how many of you guys know, with all kidding aside, some people who would love to get that bed? You know, so that would seriously be a dream come true, okay? And it's not just lazy. I'm telling you, folks, this level of convenience. You might say, oh, that's just a funny parody. We don't have the technology where or something could literally brush our teeth automatically, and I don't even have to walk to the car anymore. I don't have to do nothing. All I had to do was just push a button. Folks, I am telling you, AI is about to do that and make that look like chump change. And the reason why people are falling for it is it's under the guise of convenience. I believe that our society right now that is full of self-love, now concerned about self-convenience at all cost, again, just like those guys are cashing in on lazy inventions for our laziness, AI is cashing in on this last day society that wants self-convenience at all cost. And what's happening is it's now invading every sector of our lives. It will literally micromanage us down to the minute detail all across the planet. And that's what our next several studies are going to be about. And let me begin to break it out for you. AI right now is being pitched to create this utopian life of convenience beyond your wildest dreams. They say, you know what? AI will control our homes. Now, folks, I don't have time to get into the fact that AI right now, not coming, right now, can be used to help sell your home, find a new home or an apartment, design a new home, as well as get the best mortgage rate or price for your home. I don't even have time for that. I'm just talking about how AI, if you bring AI and let it control your home, they're saying, man, it's going to usher in conveniences like you've never dreamed of, okay? Let's take a look at some of that rationale. They say this, and these are all actual AI systems. Right now you can get Aerial. That's an AI system to monitor all your home activity, movement, and even senses people's identity. Isn't that great? Yeah, folks, this is Big Brother on steroids, and we're just getting started. Or Bridge AI, that's an AI smart home platform that focuses on speech and sound in the home. Recording everything you say. Isn't that so convenient? Yeah, I don't think so. Cubic, that's an AI system that connects all your smart home devices in one place. Wow, isn't that great? Or Grojo, that's an AI system that controls and monitors your grow room and your home, you know, your food supply, and an AI system called Home that automatically controls all your home operations and connected devices, you know, because it's too hard to push that button yourself, right? Hello, that's an AI system that helps monitor and improve your sleep in your home. Okay. Josh, that's an AI system that acts as a whole house voice control center in your home. Then there's Mycroft, that's an AI system that's the world's first open source voice assistant. And Nanit, that's an AI system that monitors your baby in your home, measures your child's sleep, and even gives caregiver interactions. You don't have to be a parent anymore. Hey, I'll take care of that baby and all that stuff, I tell you what. And then there's Nest, that's from Google, we've seen it before. That's an AI system that controls and monitors a range of in-home devices such as your thermostat, your lights, your security, your alarms, everything. If you just get the Google AI Nest system, man, it'll do everything for you. Because you all know how hard it is to turn on that light. Or the stove. Or how many of you guys ever got a hand cramp? Hitting that remote control on TV. I can't do it anymore. How many of you guys remember growing up and you were the remote control for your dad, right? Kids got it so easy today for the conveniences, right? But folks, I'm telling you, listen to this. I'm telling you, AI is not coming. AI, our society, we might laugh at it, but our society on down, who lives for nothing but conveniences, is eating this AI technology up big time. They don't want to have to push a button, right? Okay? And it's invading every area of the home that you can think of. Let's just take a look at just a few ways that AI can control your home, all under the guise of convenience in this last day's culture. Let's take a look.
First, let's start with the Echo Dot. And don't let this small size fool you. This thing is extremely powerful, and this can run your entire smart home. What makes this really powerful is how it can link all of these items that I'm going to show you today together with over 50,000 plus Alexa skills and the daily routines that you can make with this. So I have a good morning routine. So when I say good morning, then it turns on my bedside lamp for me. It changes my smart thermostat temperature. It turns on all of my lights downstairs for me and also opens up my blinds in my office so I can go ahead and start early. So all of that in one command, it's really powerful and convenient. Smart lighting is essential to any smart home. So if you want a flexible and affordable smart lighting system, then check out Sangled. They have different packages for different needs. This 4-pack comes with a hub and it's really easy to set up. Just plug it into your router and the app steps you through the rest. You can control your lights through the app from anywhere in the world, but just like you saw, you can add voice control with Alexa and control the lights and place them in routines. My favorite is turning off all the lights at night with just one command by just saying good night. It's a pain to go downstairs and turn off every single light in your house. So with one command, you can just turn off all your lights, and that's so convenient. And it's just real world stuff that you can use every day. And once you have it, you can't live without it. Once again, it's a breeze to set up with the Alexa app. You can control it through there, or if you want, there's a physical switch on the side to turn it on and off. These are so convenient to have throughout the house. I'm sure you'll be buying more than one. You can make anything smart that basically plugs into the wall. So you can have this plugged into your coffee machine in the morning as a part of your good morning routine to start brewing coffee right away when you first wake up. You can control Christmas trees with it, multiple lamps. You can even control popcorn machines, all kinds of stuff with this. So these are super convenient to have. I love them. I have the same smart plug plugged behind my media console so I can control it by voice, which is awesome. I have this really cool routine set up for entertainment. It's called movie time. So when I say it, it turns off my kitchen lights, turns off my living room lights, but just leaves the ambient lighting here for that perfect mood for the movie. And I even have a smart plug plugged into a popcorn machine over there so it starts popping popcorn and then it locks my door so I don't have to worry about it. So all of that in just one voice command is so powerful. It's really cool. This smart lock has all the features that you'll ever need. Of course, control the lock from anywhere in the world. You give keyless access through the app, give access to family members, and keep track of who's going in and out with the log of activity. There's a cool feature where it unlocks a door for you when you approach, so that is great. So if you have groceries or if you're carrying a big package in your arms, this is really convenient. And also automatically locks the door behind you as soon as you enter, so that's great for safety. And you can lock and unlock the door by voice command with Amazon Alexa. And you might think that's impractical, but just going to bed upstairs and not knowing if the doors are locked down here, you can just go ahead and ask Alexa. If it's not locked, then you can go ahead and lock it by voice. The person that's helping me shoot right now, John, he's away from his dog and he loves tech. So if that person sounds familiar, this is gonna be really good for you. So this is the Furbo Wi-Fi pet camera. And what John can do right now, even though he's away from his dog, he can check on his dog at any time with this big wide-angle HD camera. And there's bark detection there. So if there's something going on at the house, he's gonna get a notification to see what all the fuss is about. And then he can calm down his dog if he wants to. And one of the coolest things is that you can also flick a treat and give a treat to the dog while you're gone. You can schedule this, or the coolest thing is you can actually do this with Alexa integration and just do it by voice command. Two-way talk on here. This is a really good way to get connected or stay connected with your pet while you're out working. I know a lot of people out work and miss their dogs, so this thing is pretty cool.
I actually lost count. I don't know if you guys are paying attention. Did you hear how many times he said the word convenient? Convenient. Convenient. I'm telling you, folks, this is what opened my eyes to that text in 2 Timothy 3. It's not just, oh, that's terrible times. Look at the characteristics of those people. The characteristics of those people, including lovers of self, lovers of pleasure more than God, they want self-convenience at all costs, is the society that needs to appear on the scene to fall for this AI takeover. Do you see the connection there? It's not by chance, okay? If we weren't so lazy and focused on self and loving self and wanting self-convenience and pleasure above God, we wouldn't fall for this, but we are. That society is ripe, okay? But again, I don't have time to get into that. That's just a taste of what AI can do in your home. You could also get what's called other smart devices in your home, like a smart fan, smart vacuum, smart washer and dryer, smart speaker, smart doorbell, smart irrigation watering system, smart garage door opener, smart lawnmower, even smart solar panels to charge your smart car and smartphone and blah, blah, blah. Now, as we saw before, anytime you see the word smart in front of something, what should you logically, biblically supplant it with? The words big brother. Because that's what all this stuff does. Right? And you notice even the pet thing? Yeah, it's watching your pet. Does it only watch the pet? No, it watches anything, including you. Right? And not just watches, it listens. A lot of these systems don't just have video, they have microphones. And AI is controlling it all. Now, speaking of which, it isn't just home conveniences that they're trying to sell us on this AI takeover of the home. It's also security as well. And isn't that a big issue right now with all these riots going on? In fact, well, we don't have to worry. The police will take care of us. Not anymore. Now what are they calling for? Defund the police. So what are we going to do? AI to the rescue. AI will provide such peace and safety for your home. You can't even dream. Watch this.
So what is a smart home anyway? Basically, it just means that you use internet-connected devices to remotely monitor and manage various systems and appliances in your residence. So here are all the ways that we turned our house into a smart home.
Smart alarm.
Now, I chose the Nest brand because it has its own system of interconnectivity for all of its different products that it sells, and it adds so much value to your everyday life.
This is the Nest Guard, which acts as the alarm, keypad, and motion sensor. You can arm your house in several ways, one of which is by entering a code into the Nest Guard keypad. The other part to the Nest Secure system is Nest Detect, which is the sensor for your doors, windows, and rooms. If you're not at home and the house is armed when the sensor detects motion, you'll get an alert to your phone and the alarm will go off, alerting your security monitoring service.
Security alert.
Smart security cameras.
In addition to Nest Secure, we have Nest Cams placed all throughout the inside and outside of our house. Now, this is really cool because we can monitor everything that goes on in and outside of our home right from our phones. So if I want to spy on my dog, I can do that right from my phone. I can watch the footage live, or I can go back and rewatch older footage. The app is going to conveniently send you notifications whenever it sees activity.
Smart doorbell.
Part of our security system is having the Nest doorbell. The benefit of having a Nest doorbell is it acts as both a doorbell and a security camera, but you can also talk through it.
Hi, Jasmine.
Yeah, hi, Jasmine. We could see you. What do these systems do? Anywhere in the world. But that's just you. Because these systems are totally secure, and there's never been any sign or indication that anybody can hack into these systems and turn your home into a prison planet. Yes, I wish that were true. That's not. We've seen that before in our modern technology study. Folks, this is absolutely crazy. But again, under the guise of convenience, right? Now even not just the convenient home thing, because it's too hard to push that button, right? I got to have AI do that for me. But man, they're defunding the police. You got riots going on. And what am I going to do? And AI will provide that security for your home, right? It's totally convenient. It doesn't cost that much, right? I mean, who needs God? AI can do it all for you. It's very wild. Now, again, that's very concerning. And so what do? They use propaganda to get you and I to go along with this, right? Hey, just let AI take over everything in your home, whatever. It's going to give you such convenience. It'll be the parent. It'll be the police. It'll do all things for you. Your life will be so much greater if you just go along with this AI invasion of the home. Let's take a look at that. Cook me pizza. It's not like convenient. You got that right, because you all know how hard it is to open that stove, right? I mean, come on, folks. I'm telling you, this thing, remember we started off with the guy in the bed? Sounded crazy, didn't it? Look at what's happening. AI is going to control everything under the guise of convenience. Now the problem is, what's this going to create on a global scale? Because these systems can be hacked into easily. And there already are. There's many, many, many examples of that. That means with AI controlling everything in your home that you can think of, including your security, that gives somebody outside your home control over your home domain. It's called a Big Brother paradise. Now, again, let's put all that together that we saw so far, and this is really what it's going to create. It's going to create a Big Brother home. Remember, supplant the word smart. A Big Brother home with your Big Brother phone and your Big Brother lights and your Big Brother TV, your Big Brother thermostat, your Big Brother fan, your Big Brother smart vacuum or Big Brother washer and dryer, Big Brother speakers, Big Brother doorbell, Big Brother irrigation watering system, Big Brother garage door opener, Big Brother lawnmower, Big Brother solar panels, and your Big Brother car and your Big Brother security system. What do you think that's going to create? All in the guise of convenience, the biggest Big Brother prison plan that you can ever think of, with AI controlling it all. There aren't just somebody in some back end. They're going to have to hire a whole bunch of people to pull this off on a global level. That's too big for humans. But AI can do it. And that system is already being unleashed. Okay? And again, put yourself in people's shoes who made the biggest mistake of their life. I don't need Jesus. You guys are a bunch of wackos, you Christian. Rapture happens. Oh, no. All right. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to hide out in my house. That's what I'm going to do, right? Really? Think about all this technology that everybody has to have under the guise of convenience. That's when all the trouble begins. First of all, at the halfway point, the Antichrist gives the orders, worship me and take this mark or you're going to die. Now stop and think about it. How's he going to know who obeyed and who didn't? How's he going to see that? How's he going to hear that anywhere on the planet? Because that's what Revelation 13 says is going to happen. go back to this scenario. He will know instantly any conversation, even including the video of that conversation, just like that. He'll know who obeys and who doesn't. And then based on who obeys and doesn't, because you could be sitting there in the convenience of your own home, and you see the television broadcast or whatever, the Antichrist gives the order, the global mandate, worship me, receive this mark or you'll be shut out of the system. You won't be able to buy and sell. And you're sitting there going, I'll never do that. And then all of a sudden, your electricity goes out. The heater doesn't work. You're in Vegas, the AC goes off. Your fridge doesn't work anymore because it's all smart devices, right? Now your food spoils. Oh, and then by the way, do you see those smart locks? Right? You can't even get out of the house anymore. Right? Or they just come straight to your house and knock you out and take you away because they heard it all. They know exactly where you are. You built a prison planet out of your own home under the guise of convenience. Now, I truly believe that's exactly one of the many reasons why Jesus warned about those who made the biggest mistake of their lives in the seven-year tribulation. They rejected him as Savior. They did not go at the rapture. They were left behind. And of all places for Jesus to say, when the hammer comes down from the Antichrist, whatever you do, don't go back to your house. And I think this has a lot to do with it. Let's read that text, Matthew 24, 15 through 18 and 21. Jesus speaking. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, the reader, let him understand. Then those who are in Judea, what? Flee to the mountains. Run, get out of there. That's your only option. He says, in fact, here's what you, he didn't tell him what you should do. He tells you what you shouldn't do. He says, let no one on the roof of his what? House go down and take anything out of his house. In fact, don't let him go back in the field. If you're in the field, don't go back to get your cloak. Stay away from your home. Why? Because then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. That's the halfway point when the Antichrist goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple, declares himself to be God. He gives the order, worship me or you're going to die. And Jesus said, whatever you do, man. I mean, you already made the biggest mistake of your life. You rejected him as your Savior. You could have left at the rapture. But if that's you in the seven-year tribulation, whatever you do, don't go back to your house. You put all this together, folks. I don't think it's by chance. AI is building that prison plan under the guise of convenience, okay? And then maybe if you do what he says to do, which I don't recommend, he'll flick you a treat like Fido, right? You get to, and you know what his treat will be? You'll get to buy and sell. It's crazy. But that's not all. Apparently, building a prison planet out of your home is not enough. And scripturally, it's not enough, okay? Because they're going to move outside your home, and they're building this same micromanaged AI-controlled system now in the cities. And that leads us to the second thing, that AI, under the guise of convenience, is going to create a utopia beyond your wildest dreams. Who wouldn't want this, to have AI control your cities? Now, I kid you not, you're seeing a pattern here. What do you think that they now call, this is their term, not mine, what do you think they call these cities that they're now building as we sit here that has AI controlling everything micromanaging? It's called smart cities. Shocker. You got a smart home, you got a smart city. But again, you see that word smart, what do you supplant it with? Big brother city. So now they want to take your big brother home experience that we just saw, and that's the tip of the iceberg, as creepy as it was. Now they want to expand it to wherever you go, even if you make it out of your home. And folks, I'm telling you, this is happening as we sit here. Now, you may not be familiar with that term, but it's been out for a while because they've been doing this for a while. Again, most people don't even know that their city has already been turned into a so-called smart city. Okay, but it's defined as this. A smart city is an urban area that uses different types of electronic Internet of Things. Now, remember we saw last week? That's what the 5G is being launched out right now on a global basis. It has the speeds to anything on the planet that has a microchip in it, whether it be you or consumer goods or your car or your phone, or as we're going to see, a street light embedded in roads, businesses, buildings, you name it. It creates a giant net that can monitor in a seamless net anywhere, now this time in the city. Why? And listen to this. This is their words. To collect data on all things, all events, all people at all times, anywhere in the city. You say, well, that's nuts. Why would I go along with that? Because it will be used to manage assets and urban flow and resources, and it will do it in a real-time response to improve the lives of citizens and visitors in those cities. Isn't that great? It's really for me. It's for my own convenience. So you know, I can just walk around and not have to worry about anything, including outside my home. It's nuts, okay? But again, here's some of the benefits they say. You need to now let AI go outside your home and control your city. Here's some of their rationale. It will help make more effective data-driven decision-making. Yeah, it'll micromanage everything you do outside your home. It will enhance citizen and government engagement. In other words, the government's going to be watching you wherever you go. Okay? It will make for safer communities. And again, isn't that a concern? I mean, it's one thing to have AI protect your home, but you got to leave once in a while. How about AI protect your whole city, especially since they're defunding the police? Wow. It will reduce your environmental footprint. And that's important today, isn't it? Turn to somebody and go, bleh. Right? Give me a break. But you could see millennials on down, Gen Zers, they eat this stuff up, folks. They've been brainwashed with this mentality. They say it's going to improve your transportation. Oh, don't you just hate John getting stuck at that light? If AI controlled your whole city, no more. Crazy. It will increase internet availability. Oh, and you got to stay connected. It will provide new economic development opportunities. It will make more efficient usage of public utilities. It will improve the infrastructure. It will increase workforce engagement. And it will provide for more efficient distribution of resources. That's right. And it will provide a seamless communication. Can I translate that for you? It will literally be monitoring everything, all people, at every time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, outside your home. It's basically the home scenario on steroids, and it's called a smart city. Now, again, once you see what is really going on here, it kind of freaks you out. So, again, what are they doing? They use propaganda, and they get you and I, oh, come on, it's not going to be that bad. Stop being an alarmist. What are you, one of those wacky conspiracy theorists? What are you, a Christian? These smart cities, man, it's going to be awesome. I mean, haven't you seen this commercial? Watch this.
Throughout the annals of science fiction, future cities are typically dystopias. Think of the bleak lives of city dwellers in Blade Runner, Metropolis, or the Caves of Steel. Recent projections show that by 2050, 2/3 of the global population will live in cities, which makes it imperative that our future cities aren't vast urban hellscapes, but are instead smart urban centers with a dash of sci-fi, devices, roads, and lampposts all talking to each other, making life in cities safer and smoother. And this transformation is already beginning. A smart city is a place where items around town are connected. Streets, buildings, personal devices, cars, power grids, all sending data back and forth, passively working together to improve the community. Imagine public buses that trigger sensors in the roads, providing a real-time ETA. Streetlights that dim or brighten depending on foot traffic. Stoplights warning of an accident ahead. At the core, a smart city needs two things: sensors to collect data, and the connectivity to send and receive it. Some cities were early on the connectivity part, like Barcelona, which has had fiber optic cables embedded below its streets for more than 30 years. Meanwhile, sensors have become smaller, cheaper, and more powerful, giving rise to the Internet of Things. It's no wonder that the number of connected devices jumped to 8.4 billion in 2017, an increase of 1/3 in a single year. With these two major technological pieces in place, spots around the globe are launching large-scale smart city projects. In Barcelona, sensor-embedded parking spots connect with an app that directs drivers to available spaces. Street lamps brighten automatically, and they're part of Barcelona's Wi-Fi network, providing free internet access across the city. Similar smart city projects are underway in cities like Stockholm, Amsterdam, Copenhagen, and Columbus, Ohio. Some focusing on energy usage, others on safety or public transportation, but all hoping to make life in cities that much better.
That much better? Or Big Brother Paradise? Notice how they want to make sure that everybody has free internet. Why? Because that keeps you connected to the net that they're building. Micromanaging. Did you notice the last picture there? It was a picture of what? The globe. And that's the goal. They want to literally do this completely around the globe to every city. Now, if you think that's crazy, it's already happening on a massive scale to cities that you can't even dream of. Okay? Did you guys see the city there? It mentioned it was what? Columbus, Ohio. Now, that's pretty crazy. Okay, who would have thought that Columbus, Ohio had already been turned into a smart city? But it isn't just that. It's, listen to this. This is what most people don't realize. Well, it's just a couple trial cities around the world, and that's kind of creepy. I'll stay away from Columbus. And I quote, right now, not coming, already happened, London, Singapore, Barcelona, as you saw in the video, Amsterdam, Boston, New York City, Hong Kong, Chicago, Delhi, Paris, Berlin, Mumbai, Toronto, Dubai, LA, Stockholm, Melbourne, Tokyo, Vancouver, Vienna, Shanghai, Copenhagen, Beijing, San Jose, Portland, and Brussels. Oh, and by the way, that's just a few. Listen, I kid you not, 5,500 cities of 100,000 inhabitants or more right now being turned into smart cities. You see what I'm saying? Most people don't even know about this technology. They don't realize it's already being put into play. 5,500 cities around the world of 100,000 or more. And did you notice the projection? What's the trend of people? They're moving out of the country into where? The cities. Why? Because you can control a city. And again, I think that has everything to do, again, with Bible prophecy. This is the same kind of system, Big Brother system, not just in the home, now in the cities, that the Antichrist has to have in order to pull off what the Bible says he's going to pull off. Let's take a look at Revelation 13 again, verse 14 to 15. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth, those that were left behind, and he ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, the Antichrist, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Well, he did that, but here's the penalty. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to what? To be killed. Now, again, this is on a global basis, so how is this guy going to do it? How is the false prophet, how is the Antichrist going to micromanage the planet? How are they not just going to know what people say and do? We saw that certainly with the home system. But let's say you're outside the home. How's he going to know if you obeyed or not? Because this system's now outside the home. It's all of the cities. So he'll be able to watch and hear and see everything you do in your home, but even outside your home on a global basis. And not only that, notice that it connects you to the net, and so that means they know every place you are. He'll know, listen, if you not just disobey, but what was the punishment? If you don't obey, you're going to die. So again, you got to not just know if people obey or not, you got to know their exact pinpoint location, because the next order for disobedience that's going out is kill them. How are they going to know? How are they going to know where everybody is on the whole planet at the same time in real time? Smart homes, smart cities, all connected by a superhuman power called AI. AI will find that person just like that. Okay? But there's one more. It gets even more complicated, and I don't think it's by chance. The third area, the AI is being pitched, oh, it's just going to be so convenient. If we just allow this to happen, it's going to be awesome. AI will control your abilities. Now, what we saw so far, folks, is not just creepy enough, and I think it has everything to do with the seven-year tribulation and Bible prophecy and what the Antichrist and the false prophet's going to do. But it's creepy enough they're going to monitor us like dogs in our homes and the cities with AI and this interconnected technology. But listen, they are already building in that exact same system, also controlled by AI, the ability to monitor us on a continual basis, not just what we say, but what we say and what we do. And then what they're building in this AI system is AI, based on your behavior, will be the one that will tell you what you get to do or not to do. Now, that sounds freaky, right? Now, and how many guys would realize that they would say, hey, we're not only going to monitor you like a dog in a cage in your home and throughout the whole city, but we're going to have a superhuman AI, Big Brother on steroids, monitor you and your behavior 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and punish you or reward you based on your behavior. Isn't that exciting? People would freak. So you know what they call this system? Let me just tell you what it is. This is the, when you see this in print, this is what it is. It's called the social credit score system. And it's being controlled by AI. And it's not coming. It's already being put into play. Where all this technology that's monitoring us, because we had to have it because it's so convenient, in your home, outside the home in the cities, it's always on, always monitoring, and it's keeping track of everything you do. And it will control what you get to do and not to do. It's already being implanted in China. Watch this. This is nuts.
Nobody does authoritarianism quite like China. By 2020, every citizen will have a social credit score that will go up and down based on their personal behavior. Behavior leading to a deduction in credit will include jaywalking. Bad driving. Smoking on trains.
Dear passengers, people who travel without tickets or behave disorderly or smoking public areas will be punished according to regulations, and the behavior will be recorded in the individual credit information system. To avoid any negative record of personal credit, please follow the relevant regulations.
Buying too many video games. Buying too much junk food. Buying too much alcohol. Calling a friend who has a low credit score. Merely having a friend online who has a low credit score. Posting fake news online. Criticizing the government. Visiting unauthorized websites. Walking a dog without a leash. Letting your dog bark too much. At least in 1984, Winston Smith could take a train to temporarily escape the surveillance state that he labored under. In China, low-ranked citizens will be prevented from taking buses, planes, and trains.
我现在是已经被限制这个自由的出行了。
Where have I seen that before?
That's reserved for members of our Prime Flight program. You gotta be a 4.2 or over to qualify.
Oh, I'm a 4.2.
Mm-mm. I'm afraid you're actually a 4.183.
Well, that's not my fault. Some woman dinged me down in the cab drive. Can't you just...
I'm sorry, it won't let me book it without the correct ranking.
6.7 million Chinese people have already been prevented from buying air and train tickets. The punishments for citizens whose credit score sinks too low are limited only by the imagination. Renting a house, getting a loan, booking a hotel, filling up a car with petrol, all will be restricted.
I can't buy property. My child can't go to private school, he says. You feel like you're being controlled by the list all the time.
And the entire system will be overseen by an estimated 400 million surveillance cameras with facial recognition software.
Cameras record them going through intersections, zero in on their face, and then publicly shame them on nearby video screens.
And it will eventually encompass real-time geolocation tracking of citizens via their cell phone. Overall credit scores can go up and down in real time based on a person's behavior. But it can also be affected by the people they associate with. And all this will eventually be unified in a centralized database. In the words of the Chinese government, if trust is broken in one place, restrictions are imposed everywhere. They literally say that those deemed untrustworthy will be, quote, unable to move even a single step. So who cares about what's happening in China, right? I mean, it's not like they're selling the same technology to be used in the West, is it? Think that a social credit score could never happen over here? Well, think again, because it already is. Thanks to Silicon Valley, people are already losing their public square platforms for voicing dissenting opinions. People's trustworthiness is already being ranked by social media giants, depending on what links they post. People are already being refused bank accounts, e-commerce, and the ability to raise money for expressing controversial ideas. Just imagine going to buy groceries with your credit card, and then because someone in an office somewhere in San Francisco deemed something you posted on the internet to be hateful, your transaction is declined. I mean, forget even trying to pay. Your implantable microchip will be blocked, so you won't even be able to enter the shop.
Not coming. Already being put into play, as you can see, the telltale signs are happening even where? Here in the United States of America. Even just this week, have you guys noticed? If you try to post something, even on Facebook, that they don't like, even over this COVID-19 issue, what do they say? In real time, their AI system, what? Not just blocks it, they say you are needing to go to the WHO, World Health Organization, and get better statistics. This blocking of information, deciding what you get to do, not, it, folks, it's already being interplay. We as a church, you guys remember this? Out of the blue, PayPal shut us off with no warning. Remember that? And they absconded with the cash. And then we said, you can't do this. They said, basically, sue us. Which we ain't got the money to do. They got you over a barrel. This system, as freaky as it is, that's already in place in China and spreading, is already coming here. And this whole issue on the COVID thing, the mask issue, whatever, isn't that a mandate? And if you don't comply, what do you not get to do? You don't get to buy and sell, do you? You can't go into that grocery store. You can't go into the restaurant. Now, that's not the mark. But do you see how right now what we're living today is conditioning people for what is coming in the seven-year tribulation? And again, you let's go back to that text there that Paul talks about there. You put it all together. AI is controlling your homes. AI is controlling your cities. AI is building this punishment system and will dictate what you get to do or not to do. What does that sound like? Revelation 13. Now let's read 16 and 17. He didn't just give an order, worship me or you're going to die. He said, here's this. He forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had that mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the very system that is needed to not only listen and watch people in homes or in cities, and the very same system that is also monitoring people so they know exactly where they're at any time in their home or in a city on a global basis, in case you need to find them to take them out, but is the same exact very system also run by AI that we're getting conditioned to accept, having some outside entity dictate based on what they deem as appropriate or inappropriate behavior, what we get to do or not to do. Do you think that's by chance? And do you think the Antichrist won't tap into this? That whole system, folks, is being put into play as we sit here. And to me, that's how close it is. We don't know the day or the rapture, but folks, time is simply running out. Now, as freaky as that is, let's close with this. I couldn't believe I came across this. Elon Musk, you've heard of him, right? And we've seen already in our study, and we still got a long ways to go, Lord willing, how he has warned repeatedly that he, even in the industry with AI, is extremely concerned about it. And he's not just concerned about it, he's even used words like, we're summoning up a demon. He's the one who tried to purchase DeepMind, which Google owns, but Google outbid him. He shared on an interview that the reason why he was trying to buy DeepMind was to slow it down because of the dangers of singularity AI taking over the planet. Now, as crazy as that sounds, I came across this interview and he spilled the beans. I got it on tape. How many guys have heard of Elon Musk's latest invention out there? It's called Neuralink. Heard of that? Okay. He's involved in all kinds of stuff. It's like a Tony Stark of technology today, to use a vernacular. He's not only with his Tesla car and SpaceX program, that's getting most of the play. But he developed this thing called Neuralink. And if you're not familiar, we'll get into this in later studies, Lord willing, in much greater detail. But real quick, Neuralink is this machine that will connect the human brain to an AI brain. And you go, well, that sounds creepy science fiction. That sounds like that Johnny Depp movie, Transcendence. It's not science fiction anymore. So he's created this machine that connects the human brain to an AI brain. Now, the reason that's being used out there is to why would he come up with this invention? He said, and it's true, that this will help people like paraplegics or quadriplegics to regain usage of their limbs. And that is true. And that would be kind of cool. But he spilled the beans as to why he personally wanted to hurry up and develop Neuralink. And he says because he wants to hurry up and link man's brain with AI's brain so that we can control AI before it controls us. Yeah, it's nuts. Watch this. This is crazy.
There's, I think, a tremendous amount of good that Neuralink can do in solving critical damage to the brain or the spinal cord. There's a lot that can be done to improve quality of life of individuals. And that will be, those will be steps along the way. And then ultimately, it's intended to address the risk, the existential risk associated with digital superintelligence. Like, we will not be able to be smarter than a digital supercomputer. So therefore, if you cannot beat them, join them.
So you have hope that Neuralink will be able to be a kind of connection to allow us to merge, to ride the wave of the improving AI systems.
It's important that Neuralink solve this problem sooner rather than later, because the point at which we have digital superintelligence, that's when we pass the singularity. For the point at which we pass singularity, things become extremely unstable. So we want to have a human brain interface before the singularity, or at least not long after it, to minimize existential risk for humanity and consciousness as we know it.
Where do you even start with that? Can you believe that? The paralyzed, paraplegic, quadriplegic, regain your limbs thing is a smokescreen. Why is he in such a hurry to develop this? Because he sees the danger of AI, just like Daniel warned about 2,600 years ago. He's so freaked out about it that in his mind, no pun intended, that he sees the only way to escape singularity with a total AI takeover is we have to hurry up and get our mind to merge and take over its mind. Isn't that crazy? But what does that tell you? This is really going on, and it's a real danger. And these people in the industry, they ain't joking about it. They're trying to find a workaround before it's too late. And so for you and I, the point is obvious. Freak out and run to the hills. No, read your Bible, man. Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, what do? Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. We don't know the day nor the hour of the rapture, but man, it's got to be getting close. And even just what we saw today, we're just getting started in convenience and AI control. But man, the very mark of the beast system, every nook and cranny is being put into play with AI. It'll know everything around the whole world, your home, the cities, what you do or don't do, and you're already learning to be punished if you don't do what somebody says on a global basis. It's already being put into play just in time for the seven-year tribulation. It's not by chance. And so as Jesus' bride, we need to finish strong. Don't get distracted. You look at a lot of people's Facebook posts today, they're distracted. They're angry at all the wrong stuff. If you want to vent some energy, vent it on sharing the gospel. Saving souls. That's why we're still here. Let's get busy finishing strong as his bride so that others can escape at the rapture and not be a part of this big brother nightmare coming under the Antichrist. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart.
Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.